So we're glad you're here this morning. Got people from all over. Thank you for coming. SOS is over. I believe Gene Lauder's here. You hear Swink? Where's Swink? Raise your hand. Where's Swink? He was here. Where is he? Oh, he was here a minute ago. Okay. He's over. Okay. Back near the bicycles back there is Gene Lauder, Swink. He started SOS 21 years ago. And we thought 10 or 12 would show up and have a little reunion. More have come. We're glad to see you. We do want to announce that Donnie Trexler will be inducted into the Beach Music Hall of Fame this October. At the OD Beach Party that Water Dog holds. And we got a list as long as your arm. We ain't talking Johnny World's arm. We're talking about a real arm here. Long arm. We're talking Melvin's arm. We got a list of people coming. And we're going to have the regular thing with the clubs. And then Sunday we'll have the gospel show out here. Lord willing. And you be part of that. Don't miss that. It gets bigger every year and better hopefully every year. We Catfish, one of our local residents, died night before last in his sleep. Those of you who knew him, my name, he had had cancer a long time and just passed away in the middle of the night, so he's gone. And I got some very, very sad news last night that many of you will know the gentleman I'm talking about. Bill Wingate called me. Bill and I have been friends for 50 years. He played for us down here. I see his cousin, Tom Barino, back here. And Bill called last night crying and wanted us to pray for him. They found he's got lung cancer. And so if you will, keep that in mind. We won't have Bible study tomorrow night. For those of you who come, I'll be in Columbia. I'm going to go be with Bill. So please remember that. He just came out of a heart attack, heart bypass surgery, and now he's got this. And there's a few of us standing around here that have been here 50 years. And when news like this hits us, we know it. Anyway, we can get that machine cut off. Jimmy, can we get that machine cut off back there? Melvin, you got your shoe, brother. Yeah, she's going to get it for us. Thank you. That's good. Well, thank you for being here this morning. SOS is over, 10 days. It's time to go home. So I said, what are we going to preach about Sunday? And I had someone, I wouldn't call his name for anything, come over here Friday afternoon. I was sitting up just being here. And he said, are you the preacher? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, can you help me? I said, I don't know. What's your problem? He said, I want to go home. I said, why can't you? He said, well, I've just ruined my life. My wife's left me. And I'm just out here and I want to go home. And I said, well, I've been to that rodeo. And I can tell you how to fix that. And he said, how? I said, she left you because you weren't you. You had become somebody else. And she went to find you again because you weren't you. And the best thing you can do is become you again. And don't bug her and don't get her on the phone and don't call every day and don't cry and don't just go by there one time and inform her that you intend to become the you that she married. And when you feel you're you again, go back and say, if you really believe it's me and you want to be you, let's start over. And he cried like a baby. He said, that'll do it, won't it? And I said, that'll do it. That'll do it. Been there, done that. And so we hope that he understood that. Hope he's here today. And if that's your problem, today you'll learn how you can go home. So we will pray and read the scriptures and then expound them. My gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. the opportunity to gather, and where you said two or three are gathered together in your name, surely you'd be present, and we welcome your presence. We thank you for those who are deep in Bible study, have been Christians all their life, and some who don't have any idea what we're doing down here. We thank you for sending everybody. Nobody is here by accident. Everybody's here by divine appointment. I've known that through the years. I thank you for what you are doing here. Far be it for me to think it's me. I thank you that we can preach the gospel without hesitation and without reservation and have four people 2 years ago. And now look what you have done. Remove me again from this place and that you may be heard. Anything I should say of my foolishness that should be forgotten, please let it be. But everything that should be remembered, please let it be. For those among us who have strayed from you and need to go home, may they pay particular attention today. May those who have no home spiritually find out you're waiting on them today. And when we leave this place, be with us and bring us to our cities where we live safely. And thank you again for what you've done and what you'll do today. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Our little special friends on the front we have here, if you will get some envelopes, we'll have put out. And get a little envelope and send it to them and put something in it during the week. Dollars, all right. We can take up a big collection, send it once, and be over with, out of sight, out of mind. That doesn't last long. But if you'll take an envelope or two and then copy the address, and you can write your own envelopes if you're not from here, and send those little people a dollar or two a week. It won't hurt you, but it'll sure help them. And you'll know you're helping someone who cannot possibly help themselves. And it'll make you feel good. In fact, it'll make you feel better than they'll feel when they get it, and they're going to feel great. So please do that after the service. Those of you who want tapes or CDs, Larry Jones tapes our ministry and has them every week. The next week he has, this week will be next week, that type thing. There's no charge to them. He does this free of charge. If you would like to help him with buying of CDs and tapes, then just give him some money. It's that simple. And we thank you for that. We thank the musicians today for what they did. Paul always for what he did. If you did bring a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is three parables by the Lord Jesus himself. Talking about things that are lost. It's the lost sheep, where the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one because the 99 are all right. It's the one that needs help. It's the widow with the lost coin. She had several but just lost one. Searched diligently until she found it. And the third one was a lost son. The wisdom of the scriptures is wonderful. The first two are things. You can replace a sheep. You can replace a coin. But you can't replace a son. And God's very serious when he loses a son. So we start at verse 11. And he said, meaning Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son. He was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. And they began to be merry. And this, of course, is the story of the parable of the prodigal son. The son doesn't leave you ladies out. It means ladies, too, the parable daughter. And we go through the scriptures and expound them verse to verse best we can. And first off, we learn a wonderful theological truth that a man had two sons, meaning both were in the family. Once they were in his family, it didn't matter what they did or how they did it or if they obeyed or if they didn't, they'd always be his sons. Nothing could change that. If they disowned him, didn't matter. They still had to carry his name. If they carried his name, it didn't matter. The birth certificate still showed that they were his sons, and that's the way it would always be. And here we find the answer to those folks who live in anxiety and uncertainty, even though they're Christian, and they're worrying, can I lose my salvation? Absolutely not. A certain man had two sons, and I was one of them. And he said, you'll be mine forever. You can slander me and blaspheme me and turn against me and backslide and do what you will, son. But you're mine forever. And I said, what a God. What a father. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. The young ones are always a little anxious to do what their brothers do or see what the elders do. And, you know, they want the new car and they want the money early. Too often they get too much without enough experience to go with it. I've found, as I'm sure you have, that easy money goes fast. Hard money stays around. And he said, I want my money and I want it now. And I can hear his daddy saying, son, I know you don't want to listen. I know you think I'm just an ignorant old man and we don't know anything. We not help you into everything and we out of everything. And I'm stupid, you tell your friends, but you get that money now, you'll be broke in 6 months. Well, you can't handle it. No, give me my part now. Just I want out of this family. Y'all don't know anything. I'm going to get away from here. And the Bible says he divided unto them his living, which in the original languages means he split the money up as if he was dead. He went ahead and gave that son everything. Obviously, it's an agricultural family, and they had to keep the farm, so divided evenly, they had to give most of the money to this boy. So now his dad and the brothers and the family again still running the farm and trying to make back up what they've given to him, and he's gone. And he took that money in verse 13 and said, not many days after that, it didn't take long, did it? The younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. And far country doesn't have a definition mileage-wise. But I'll tell you spiritually that a far country is out of sight of your Father in heaven. And however far that is for you, it's too far, I guarantee you that. And far has no distance, far has feeling. When you get far away from those you love and far away from your family, you know it. The worst thing that happened to this country was after in the 50s and early 60s when the large corporations began hiring young men out of college. And instead of letting them work in the areas where they were familiar, they'd move them to Arizona or California and Wyoming. And their thinking was, we'll get them away from home where they don't know anybody and they'll be lonely and have nothing to do but work for us. Total greed. And it was the start of the breakup of the American family. Because too many people started chasing success, and I did it myself. And like you, and like me, a lot of us climbed the ladder of success, and we fought our way up. And we stepped on people and ran over people and did what we have to do. But we climbed the ladder of success and reached the top, only to find out the ladder was leaning against the wrong building. And boy, was that a sad day. Because we had shunned our family and shunned our friends, shunned our church and shunned our teachers, shunned our grandmothers and shunned the people we grew up with. And we were going to be somebody. We didn't know we left somebody at home. So we went to a far country, and there he wasted his substance. And if you'll look in the book of Proverbs, you'll find in what righteous living is called. He went, drank all he could, and then he decided he'd run around with some whores. His brother calls him a whoremonger later on. We didn't read that. You see, he went and wasted all his money. Isn't it funny when you're doing that, you don't realize it is waste? Isn't it funny how many friends you had when you had money? Isn't it funny how they came out of the walls and always talked about you, what a good guy you were? And then you hit the bottom like this guy and you couldn't get them out of the woodwork. They didn't know your name. They didn't come around much anymore. This poor boy got in such a trouble, it was awful. He had wasted the money on righteous living, it said, and when he had spent all, I mean he didn't have a dime, he said, things cannot get worse, I'm broke. I came from a wealthy family, I had it all, I got my share and I've spent it all, and I have nothing. Things cannot possibly get worse than this. Sure they can. I said, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He wasn't prepared for it. You see, you check with your stockbroker and you'll see those hills and valleys and hills and valleys. And since they started that legal gambling, it's been hills and valleys and hills and valleys. And if you're fool enough not to think somebody controls those hills and valleys, we need to have a conversation after the service. And you think you're going somewhere, and then that mighty famine comes, and all your resources are gone. And everything you depend on for your popularity and the friends that you have is gone. And now there's famine in the land. The sad part is, Scripture says there'll come a day, and it already has, when a famine will come upon the land, and it's not a famine of bread. It's a famine of hearing of the word of God. It's here today. It's here today. We had Bible study the other night, and Connie and Tommy come regularly, and we were talking, and I said, I don't know where them people come from. I'm just glad they're there. I don't know why they come. I'm just glad they're there. Every Sunday morning, my wife will say, reckon anybody will be there but us? I said, I reckon some will. Let's just go. And you keep coming. And I said, I can't. Why do they come? And Connie, in her wisdom, said, son, you're feeding the hungry. I said, oh, we're feeding the hungry. I said, yeah. So keep coming, because you'll keep being hungry. And if you have the bread of heaven on your table and in your life, when the spiritual famine comes, any other kind of famine comes, it won't bother you. Because you'll be prepared to go back to your Father, and he'll take care of the famine. And it said this boy began to be in want. You see, he didn't know want. He had had life on a silver platter. His dad owned a big farm, and he was doing fine, and they raised the kids, and they had servants working for them. These guys were doing great. But he wanted to do better and wanted to spend the money, so he left. He had never known want. Didn't know what that meant. And want came upon him, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now please understand what took place there. In the original languages, this means he went and bugged a citizen of that country till he put him to work. That he fooled with him incessantly, that he wouldn't leave him alone, that he literally begged and cried, "I've got to have a job. I don't know what want is. I'm hungry. I'm broke. I don't know what to do. Please help me." And a citizen, a stranger of that country said, "Okay, come ahead and you can work for me." He said, "What do you do?" He said, "I run a farm outside town." He said, "Well, what will my job be?" He said, "You can feed the pigs." He said, "Well, didn't you know one day I was a CEO? He said, "I don't care what you were. I know what you are. You can feed the pigs." He said, "Well, I'm important." He said, "Well, tell them pigs. They're important to me. You're going to feed the pigs." And this was a double slap to this gentleman. He came a Jewish family. The Jewish law forbids him to touch pigs, to eat pork, or to be around that. He's not allowed to do that. And here he finds himself coming from a wealthy family. Never was hungry, always had the money for material things he needed. Everything was fine, and all of a sudden he's in a pig field feeding the pigs. And it says husk here, and of course, being from the southeast, we assume it's corn husk. It isn't. It's carob husk, kind of like pea pods. And he'd just, you know, mind the hogs, and they'd go about their business and eat them, and then he'd put them back in the pen. And his brother accused him of being a whoremonger down here, running with the women. And even they forsook him. When you can read between the lines, do you see what he did? Now no more money, now no more nice clothes, no Gucci sandals. He's a little bit ragged, a little bit tattered, a little bit torn. Goes back to the bar and sits down with one of the ladies in the evening. "Did you remember me, don't you? I was over here 3 or 4 months ago." "Yeah, I remember you. You need a shave, son. Clothes are a little ragged. Your sandals are tore up. Your hands are a little rough. What's the matter with you?" "Oh, well, I just went into a new business." "You see, we can't accept defeat, can we?" "Just went into a business." She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm the agricultural nutritional supervisor at a large concern outside town." She said, "Oh, you the new hog feeder at my uncle's farm." He said, "Yeah, that's me." So she left too. She said, "You can't afford me any longer, son. I'm not here because you're cute." So here he is, and he's hungry now. He cries out and said, "Man, I'm feeding the pigs, and I don't know what to do, and I gave me a little old hole in the wall to stay in. Don't they know who I am?" "Yeah, and they know what you are." "So won't somebody just give me something to eat?" "No, they don't give things this part of the country. I'd earn them." So he was hungry. I mean hungry. He was hungry for a couple of things. He wanted something to eat. And he was hungry for his family. He was hungry for his father. He was hungry to go back to where he once was. But pride will keep you from that, won't it? I remember, have y'all been crazy yet? Most of you over 50. Y'all been crazy, most of you? Go ahead and own up. Yeah. Okay, good. Been there. Yeah. Crazy as a loon, look in the mirror, it ain't you looking back. Did it for years. Did it for years. Looked right in the mirror wondering, who's this? Depressed, lonely, hungry. Just shaking my head saying, what happened? What happened? Some friend of mine came and said, you in shape to hold a revival? So, yeah, I'll be glad to hold one. I mean, I'm saying, here we go. We'll have a church somewhere in the country, 150, 200 people. We'll get right back in there, and things will go, and they'll find out I'm somebody again. Said, where's your revival? He said, Dunbar Street, Myrtle Beach. That's referred to as the hill. You don't want to go there without a Uzi. I go to Dunbar Street in the little back street church. Big black lady pastor. She looked at me and said, well, you can fool my eyes. He don't look like much. But you can't fool my soul. He'll be okay. And so she let me come and hold a revival with 9 people present. From 70 to 9. 9 people. And every night at that little church, they would have a testimony meeting before I'd preach. They're accustomed to do things. And from the 70-year-old man, obviously poor materially, had a hard life, obviously, down to the little 9-year-old girl. Before they gave their little testimony, everyone said something. They'd say, I want to thank the Lord for waking me up in my right mind this morning. I said, boy, I'd love to be able to stand up and say that. What I'd give to be able to stand up and say, I want to tell you folks some good news this morning. I woke up in my right mind. It's me again. But I can't tell them that. So I know where this boy was. But he said, oh my gosh, when I came to my right mind, I said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. And he put forth a plan. And you circle 18, 19, and 20. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now please understand, 18 and 19 will not help you unless you can get that first part of 20. You can know you hurting and know you need help and know alcohol's got you. You can know you're doing wrong to your family. You can know there's different things wrong in your life. And simply acknowledging them will not solve it. You have to arise and go to your father. Then it will be solved. The devil held a meeting one morning. Got the demons together and said, look, we're having a lot of trouble. We got Billy Graham and Falwell and Stanley and missionaries and little backwoods preachers, and they beating the tar out of us. Still more people in the United States are going to church than there are to football games. We need to think of something. So give $1 million to the man with the best suggestion that'd help us keep people from Christ out of church. Keep them with me. $1 million. Put your thinking caps on. Met again the next Saturday and said, who's got an idea? And one of them said, man, that $1 million is mine. He said, what you gonna do? He said, we're gonna convince them there's no hell. And the devil said, all right, how you gonna do that? He said, we'll get some of our people in the colleges. We'll get the pews a little more padded. Get a few more chandeliers and have a few more committees, and we'll bring a little more intellectualism into the place. And sophisticated, educated, intellectual people will reject something as terrible as hell. They won't put up with that long. He said, that's a good idea. Good idea. And another one said, well, I appreciate his idea. I got one better than that. That $1 million is mine. He said, well, what's your idea? He said, we're going to convince them there's no God. Well, how are you going to do that? Now, we'll get the German theologians in American seminaries. We'll sponsor intellectualism. We'll search for so-called errors. We'll have hypercriticism. We'll get in the school systems. We'll get the Bible out. We'll get us in. We'll get the college people teaching the scriptures as literature instead of the Word of God. And we will make rednecks shouting fools at them preachers. It won't be long before we have that group convinced there is no God. Do what you want to. No accountability. And the devil said, I like that. That's good. Good. I believe I'm going to have to give you the million. One little dude in the corner said, no, 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 no. No, no, no. That money's mine. He said, what do you mean? You ain't going to come up with nothing better than that. He said, yes, I am. Just go ahead and send the money over here. He said, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to let them know there's a hell. We're going to let them know there's a God. We're going to even encourage them to go to some of the churches. Go ahead and have a little 11 o'clock hour get together. What we are going to do is encourage them to wait. So sure there's a God. Sure you ought to do what he says. Sure there's a hell. Why, heaven's sake, you get off sides in a football game, you get penalized. Fool knows that. Do wrong, you get hurt. Do right, you don't. How hard can it be? Pick one. Said, they're going to go for it, son. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God. The scriptures are true. Jesus died, paid for the sin, coming back again, but it's okay to wait. Just a little later. And the devil said, man, give him $2 million. I've never heard such a good idea. If we can convince them just to wait, we'll catch them before later comes. And what a good deal that was. Hadn't it worked well? Didn't work with this boy. Said he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off. I like that. He was still a great way off. His father saw him. That little sentence tells me an awful lot. His daddy hadn't given up yet. Old man had been on the porch and they'd say, daddy, come on in. Now he's been gone for a year and he's not coming back. We've had reports and the money's gone and he's too ashamed and he's feeding hogs and he's not coming home and you just might as well raise the family you got and just forget about him. He said, y'all go ahead and eat. I'm going to watch the horizon just a little bit longer because if somebody comes across that line, even at sundown, I can tell it's the shape of a man and it just may be him. Day after day and month after month, he'd look. While the work was being done, they'd see him ride the mule up the dirt road and look over the hill and say, maybe today's the day. Maybe he's coming home today. Maybe my boy's coming back. And one day it happened. Old man sitting on the porch and looked and said, did I not see something move? Will somebody with a little better sight come up and help me? Did I not
see something move on the horizon.
One of the servants said, I believe there is somebody coming.
And he said, what does he look like? He said, I don't know. He's just walking. And the daddy said, does he limp a little bit to the left? Just a little bit. And the servant said, yes, I believe he does. He limps a little bit to the left, and the old man threw the cane down and threw the robe off and went up the road and said, it's him. He's back. It's my boy. And they said, son, you're going to have a heart attack. Now, daddy, take it easy. He said, leave me alone. My son has come home. Leave me alone. I'm going to meet him. It's him. Nobody walks like him. Nobody looks like him. I know my boy. Get away from me. His father went and met him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, it said. And the son tries to jump in there. He's rehearsed his little saying 100 times. He said it 1,000 times from the far country to his farm. He's rehearsed it. Well, this is what I'm going to say when I say my daddy. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And he said, shut up. The father said to his servants, go bring the best robe. And in the language, it means go bring the festive robe. Go bring the robe we only use for special occasions. Go bring that robe I got when I was down in Egypt and it's got those silk things on it. Bring that one and put it on this boy. Nothing's too good for him. This is my son and he's back. And while you're gone, go get the family ring. It's got the family crest on it, and anything that ring touches and leaves that crest, that's the authority of me. Give him my authority. Go ahead and put the ring on his hand, because once again, my son is home, and once again, he's an heir, and once again, what's mine is his, and once again, we'll have joy around here. And his shoes are ragged. Get him a good pair of shoes while you're there. Throw them old ragged sandals away and bring him some new ones. And then get the other group and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And we're going to eat and we're going to be merry. They said, man, isn't this a lot? He said, look, this was my son. He was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost. And he's found. And they began to make merry, it said. Studying this, we found out that they had music and dancing. I can hear him now saying, who is that group that came in here with the caravan that we putting up out there in the field? The place is good. Who are they? The Drifters. Yeah, get them in here. Get the Drifters and we'll have a dance on the lawn. And the dance they did was a circular dance of joy. Even then, they didn't like line dancing. And they brought the musicians. And they played. And they had a barbecue. And they celebrated the fact that the son was home again to stay forever. Have you figured out now that the Father's Jesus? Have you figured out by now you're the Son? Have you figured out by now he's still waiting, whether it was 10, 15, 20, or 50 years you left him? And he's waiting to see you cross that horizon, and he's going to stand up from his throne and run towards you the length of eternity. And put his arms around you and wrap you in a royal robe and put a signet ring of God Almighty on your finger and put shoes of the gospel on your feet. And then he's going to hold a 1,000-year party called the millennium. Let's get it on. My son's home. He was lost. Now he's found. Don't know where you are today. Maybe you never had a spiritual father and you said, man, that's strange to me. He'll hire you and adopt you. You can join the family for free. He'll love you as much as he does any of his other natural sons that he had. He said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No other qualifications. Just come unto me. If you don't know him when we pray today, you just say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know it, and I want a Savior, and I know it's you. Please make me one of your family. I promise he'll go his extra mile. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home, just got away from that as a child, went to Sunday school, had a grandmother that prayed. Maybe you hadn't been gone strayed too long and you just got to the far country. Understand, it'll work this way every time. Further you get away from God, the farther down you'll go till you're on your back looking up. And then it'll be time to go home. The good news is you don't have to wait that long. You can just go on right back home now. We say SOS is over and it's time to go home. Time to go home. Is it your time to go home? The foolishness is fun and we joke and have fun and jump around like we're 18 and it's fun. But the phone call last night told me my friends died. Thursday one did. A week don't go by that we don't get a call down here where one of the old jitterbugs has left us and gone. And I always wonder, I wonder if he came home. I wonder if he came home. Did anybody ever tell him the story of Jesus? That's why this started down here. So, well, you mean the preacher's over there and going to jump in our face for what we do and come down in? No, 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 no. You know what you do. I don't have to run that list on you. You know how far away you get? I don't have to run that list on you. Well, why is he there? Because I love you. That's why I'm here. I can go home without you. But it'd break my heart. Go home without Charlie Daniels. I can't think of it. Go home without Bobby McGinnis. Can't think of that. Break my heart. But I'd get over that soon because when I get to heaven, I won't even remember what happened on earth according to that book. But I know somebody who said, look, it broke my heart too. And I can go home without them too. But I'm going to stop by an old rugged cross. And I'm going to pay the way for all of them. If they'll just come home. But it has to be voluntary. I'll not make the first one do it. And there we stand. Choice is yours. The death rate in America is 100%. One day they'll call and tell me you're going or you've gone. Or they'll call you and say, did you hear about Beaver? It's not if you're going to go, it's where you're going to go. So if you don't have that straight today, you get it straight. Simple. Plain. Just go home to your Heavenly Father. He left the light on for you. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you didn't give up on me. Thank you that you didn't give up on some of my dear friends here. Thank you that you said, I'm about ready to close that place down. They're making me sick at my stomach. But you sat a few more days on the porch with the light on. And you've let a few more come by. It may be the last time some hear, really hear the gospel presented clearly. And plainly,
by somebody they can identify with. Lord Jesus, if there's one here who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, may they solve that today. Simply by praying where they are, my job is done. And just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I knew what I did when I did it. I'm guilty. I'm ready to come home. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you died on Calvary's cross, shed your blood for my sins. I believe you were buried and arose again the third day. And that is the gospel. And I'm depending on the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ to give me a home for eternity. It's all you got to do. I pray you will do that. It's not that you don't have the sense enough to do it. It's, are you willing to give up the pride to do it? He's waiting for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And for his holy sake, amen.